From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 24th day of June 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the U.S. Senate has released a report suggesting CFTC do something about excessive speculation in the wheat market. And the government of China has asked the WTO to examine the U.S. ban on poultry imports. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then we'll visit Allerton Park in Monticello, Illinois, and its 4-H Memorial Camp. And as we close out this half-hour program, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of the University of Illinois and Public Radio.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures like this in the soft red winter wheat pit, July down 7 at 539 and 3 quarters for the harvest month. September at 567 and 3 quarters, 8 cents lower. And December wheat at 592 and a quarter, down 8 and 1 quarter. July hard red in Kansas City finished 6.5 cents lower at $5.97.5. The September at 607 and 3 quarters, down 6 and 3 quarters. July corn futures back in Chicago, 386.5, a settlement price 2.5 lower. September futures at 395, down 2 and a quarter. And the December contract at 407 and a quarter, down 1 and 3 quarters. March corn, 419.5, a penny lower in the May futures at 428, down a half. December contract at 422.5, up 0.25 cents. July oats down 2 cents at 206. July soybean futures, $11.85, a settlement price, 6 cents higher. August at 1122.5, 8.5 higher. September up 7 cents. At 10.55 and November at 10.08, up 3.5. January up 2 cents at 10.14 for the settlement price. Next year's November contract at 9.45.5 finished 2 cents higher on the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle futures were down 20 in the nearby June at 81.65. The August feeders at 98.95 were 75 cents lower. And July lean hogs at $57.30 finished the day $2.82.5 lower. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures, the settlement price per barrel at $68.67 on the August, down 57 cents. July ethanol, $1.67.7. That's a penny lower on the day. Natural gas at $3.76.7. Finished the day down 11.2 cents, and the RBOB gasoline at $1.84.6, finished 2.47 lower. Heating oil futures $1.74.4, down 2.4 cents on the day, and the propane at $0.84.3, up a penny and a half. Let's go back to the RBOB gasoline. I gave you the percentage as opposed to the change. It was down 4.6 cents at $1.84.6, and the gold futures at $934.10 an ounce, up $10.20 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 83.18, down 4.69 points on the hour, and the U.S. dollar currently trading at 80.55. is up 0.71 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. An excessive heat warning remains in effect in the metro east area of St. Louis today. Heat advisories are in effect for much of northern and central Illinois and west-central and northwestern Indiana. Tonight in northern Illinois and northwestern Indiana should be mostly cloudy. Some showers and thunderstorms, some producing heavy rainfall. In central Illinois, partly cloudy, showers, a few thunderstorms possible, mainly after midnight. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 65 in the northwestern parts of Illinois to 75 in some of the central Illinois locations, says our own Mike Sola. And then tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from 82 in northern Indiana to 95 in the far south. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with Drew Lerner. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a Wednesday afternoon. In studio with me today is the station manager, Jay Pierce. Good afternoon to you, Jay. Why are you here and visiting with us today?
Well, good afternoon, Todd, and good afternoon, everyone. We are a listener-supported service. More than one-third of the money it takes to run Illinois Public Media comes from listeners to programs like the Closing Market Report. June 30th is the end of our fiscal year. That's less than a week away. That is the deadline for raising the money that we will need in order to continue bringing you programs and services like Closing Market Report in the coming year. That begins on July the 1st, and that's why we're so compelled to get the message out that your support right now really matters. We're $14,000 closer than yesterday, but we're still $170,000 away from having all of the money in the bank that we'll need beginning July the 1st. So you have the power to affect what you'll hear on Illinois Public Media programs, no matter what station you're listening to them on. So if you're in Clinton, Watseka, Taylorville, Kewaunee, Hoopston, or Oakland, or Kankakee, Assumption, Decatur, wherever you are listening to us, right now, the power is in your hands. You can call 217-244-9455 or log on to WillPledge, WILLPLEDGE.org with a contribution, or you can mail a check to WILL 300 North Goodwin, Urbana 61801. We don't want to have to make any permanent decisions based on temporary economic situations. You know, the state of Illinois is in flux. We don't know what our support from the state's going to be in the coming year. We do know that our federal money will probably be flat. The university's having its issues getting its budget settled. But there is one part of the budget that makes up more than one-third of the money we operate on that we all together do have control over. So let's be proactive, take control of it, make a call, make a pledge.
That's Jay Pierce from Illinois Public Media. Thanks so much, Jay, for dropping in. And if you have the opportunity in this program and other agricultural programming that you get from Illinois Public Radio, Illinois Public Media, or from our website at willag.org, please make a contribution if you possibly can.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to talk with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, about the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, a double dose of Paul Cooley on the Closing Market Report. You were here Monday and again on a Wednesday. Every time you're here, the markets are down this week, huh?
Well, yeah, that's tough. You know, a couple things from point A to point B here. It'd be wonderful if we'd miss this rain coming through Thursday, but there is this chance of Thursday afternoon, we understand, maybe a half inch heavier to the north, but lighter as the further south you go. Farmers are calling in and saying, you know, it'd be great if we could get the wheat harvested in, like, Patoka, Illinois, but it's very wet, and the beans are almost impossible to plant down there. The second one is the wheat harvest is a little better than expected in Kansas, the state of Kansas. And whenever we see the wheat being harvested in the U.S., it has a tendency to put pressure on the wheat market. And I think that was a simple deal here. And indirectly, that put pressure on corn as well.
It didn't put a lot of pressure on corn, though. Wheat in the nearby July for soft red down 7, corn down 2.5 in the nearby July. December contract was up just a penny and 3/4 lower for the day. It's a far cry from what we saw on Monday, and we did have a little turnaround Tuesday. Have we gone down far enough, in your opinion, at this point?
My opinion is the corn we have, but we have a problem with corn, and we saw this very definite commodity fund, hedge fund panic blow out of the market, you know, and whenever corn goes down 50 cents, it leaves a lot of problems in the market, you know, till we stabilize and see demand coming back. And we get the feeling that, you know, the crop basically east of the Mississippi isn't the prettiest. West of Mississippi, it's pretty good. We're waiting for a big USDA planting and report there on June the 30th. And the marketplace needs time to digest this, but in my humble opinion, corn probably is cheap enough, and there's value here in the corn market at this level.
You suggest that the speculative money was the reason the corn dropped. Do we have an idea why they decided to get out so quickly and so dramatically?
Well, it also occurred in the bean market to some extent,
right.
Wheat market, and the stock market, and things like that. Quarterly, there was some problems with some crude oil at the time, and there was it was a combination of good growing weather and also concerned about some financial statements by the administration.
Yeah.
And, you know, those were the combination of things that kind of beat up on everything at the same time. And there is this study. The Senate is probing the wheat market. And, of course, the commodity world is nervous about that as well.
Yeah, we'll hear more about it when Dave Dickey brings us the news here in just a few minutes. Do you think that the drop, and you suggest had something to do with a lot of the outside markets, was it just a run for cover for a bit, for safety, for whatever reason, for a little bit, and they'll return to the marketplace?
I think these commodity funds want, part of being a fund manager is to show big profits. And they left, they saw these big profits and a lot of it evaporated, and they liquidated at any cost, and I think it drove the market on down. The market was also slightly lying about this problems of planting the crop, both on corn and soybeans, and it probably beat up on some people a little harder than normally, and definitely the trend is lower in corn and still higher in beans, but lower in wheat. The stock market, by the way, is lower too on the trend following systems. So we got beat up pretty hard and pretty dynamically across the board. Once a market gets beat up, it takes time to bring it back to life, and there's just no incentive, a lot of extra speculative deals now, unless we see a weather problem on the crop, unless we see some unusual demand, and we don't see anything like that today or tomorrow.
What do you think? How much time are we talking about? We need to get past the acreage report. We need to have July wheat expire. Both of those things. What
yeah,
happens?
I think what the big thing is from what I can tell from is we need to see a continuation of this very hot weather continue in the Delta as far as putting a little fear in the new crop bean plantings, and also some dryness in the Southwest to really stabilize the corn market. The other factor I think that we'll take a lot of the guessing game out is what is the real acreage in the U.S. and how much of it really got planted. Those things will also, the unknown also is not a good thing in the commodity world.
Anything I didn't get to that you wanted to make
sure? I think you
sure?
Hit everything.
All right. Thanks much, Paul.
Have a nice one.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now, if you happen to miss the Closing Mark Report or any of the other agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media, you can always go back and get it on our website at willag.org. We post it not long after the shows air on the radio stations, and sometimes even before they air, including on Commodity Week. We record that at 4:30 on Friday afternoons and post it by about 6 o'clock to the website. It doesn't usually air until Saturday morning on any radio station. You can listen to it anytime you'd like. After 6 o'clock, Friday nights at WILLAG.org. And speaking of the Closing Mark Report, this program, you can hear a bit of it on your phone if you want. Dial 217-333-3434. We update that number twice a day at about 9:15 and 3:15 with the numbers and some analysis. 217-333-3434. Here's Dave with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, a new U.S. Senate report released yesterday says the Commodity Futures Trading Commission should impose tighter position limits on commodity index traders to stop excessive speculation in the wheat markets. The 247-page report by the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations examined how commodity index traders in the aggregate have made large contract buys on the wheat futures market that pushed up futures prices, disrupted the normal relationship between futures prices and cash prices for wheat, and caused farmers, grain elevators, grain processors, consumers, and others to experience significant unwarranted costs and price risks. The subcommittee cites that part of the problem with the commodity index money flowing into the wheat market stems from lax restrictions on contract limits. The subcommittee states the CFTC did not restrict wheat traders to the standard 6,500 contract position limit. The report recommends the CFTC begin enforcing the 6,500 contract limit and potentially consider going back to the 2005 limit of 5,000 contracts. A China Ministry of Commerce spokesperson says China's government requested the World Trade Organization to examine the U.S. ban on the import of Chinese poultry products. The spokesperson says that the U.S. ban violates WTO rules and hurts the interests of China's poultry industry. China raised a negotiation request under the WTO in April, but talks between the two countries that followed failed to resolve the issue. Monsanto, the world's biggest seed maker, says its third quarter profit fell 14% and that it plans to cut 900 jobs, or about 4% of its workforce. The St. Louis-based company says the restructuring will drag down fourth quarter profit by 41 cents to 47 cents per share. It also says its full-year profit will be on the low end of its previous forecast of $4.40 to $4.50 per share. Monsanto said today it earned $694 million, or $1.25 per share, in the latest quarter. That's down from a profit of $811 million, or $1.45 per share, a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both of which you can find online anytime you'd like at willag.org. You can listen to those programs there, other agricultural programming, and sign up for our podcast. It's all free. It's all at willag.org, and it's all part of the Agricultural Service from Illinois Public Media. Hey, up next, you know, kids from all over are headed to Central Illinois for 4-H camp this summer. U of I Extension has been hosting a camp, as you'll hear, at Robert Allerton Park outside of Monticello for more than 50 years. 2 years after Robert Allerton donated this land to the University of Illinois, the 4-H Memorial Camp was opened. Since 1948, kids from all over the state have made a life journey here in just 5 days. More often than not, it is their first real independent experience away from mom and dad, says camp director Kurt Sinclair.
And that's part of what camp is about, is to foster that independence and learn to adjust to a new situation. And that's what these wonderful counselors do around here, is help those kids get in a groove. By the week goes by so fast for them, and by the fifth day, you'll just find out that they just can't believe it's open. Yeah. And so that's the neat part. Really, they adjust quickly, and that's what they're learning. They have to live in a community environment, you know, with others, and learn how to get along with people. A lot of about what camp is about.
That, learning to do all kinds of things on your own, like rowing a boat or shooting a bow and arrow.
Go all the way back, as far as the bow will go. Hold the bow like
Illinois' 4-H Memorial Camp is open to all 4-Hers, age 8 to 16, and even to those who don't belong to a 4-H club.
Well, they'll come and spend the week with counselors, young men and women, on another type of journey, one to explore the bounds of their enthusiasm and compassion.
It takes a lot of patience. Like, you have kids that want to go home the first night, and you gotta convince them to stay here, you know, because... And it takes a lot of understanding on their part, because, you got to remember back when you were little and your first time away from home and stuff like that.
So. And stuff like that. It can be scary and exciting and fun all at once. And from the other side of the coin, as a parent, it's all those same things too. Well, it's good to know U of I Extension has a long and rich history of working with kids in 4-H. And for more than 50 years, this camp, for about 1,400 8 to 16-year-olds this summer, it'll all be part of a wonderful life journey. At the 4-H Memorial Camp in Robert Allerton Park outside Monticello, Illinois, I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us today. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Are you one of those places that is offering up overs at this point?
Well into that. Climbers is 17 over, and that's probably easily, I have to look back, but probably at least a nickel, if not 7 cents, better than last week when we talked.
Yeah, anybody taking that up? I take that's for corn, right?
That's for corn here. Actually, very light, with 90% of the producers being cash, flat price or cash grain oriented, with the cash price slipping here, we really haven't had any busy days here lately.
Take a look out 2 weeks to a month. You think the overs will exist then?
I really do. I could easily see, this not being the top. I could see you put another nickel on here and get the 2022 over fairly easy, especially if this light, hardly any movement, continues to into the 4th of July weekend.
It sounds like something that will happen for the eastern Corn Belt, in particular for the Indiana border on to the east. How about if you go to the west? What do you hear there?
Actually, that's where we're buying quite a bit of our corn. I know rail values have increased just with our Champaign facility there, and also what I'm hearing on CN values there. But we've been able to buy quite a bit of corn in that area. Trucking probably is about 20 cents back to our facility. So call it picked up at the farm over in that area at small unders. Fairly easily here lately. So that makes me consider that basis is quite a bit weaker there for train shippers just over the state line.
Indeed. What are your bids for the day?
Yeah, here at Climbers, corn is at 403 and Beadelphi beans at 1190.
Thanks so much. Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. He's in Delphi, Indiana at their Climbers facility for the Andersons, and joins us each and every Wednesday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. In just 2 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Stay with us.
It's National Creamy Pralines Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Thomas Blanchard was born. An American inventor, he created a machine for mass-producing tacks. And at age 13, he developed an apple-paring machine. In 1817, the first coffee was planted in Hawaii on the Kona coast. In 1839, Gustavus Franklin Swift was born. Swift was founder of the meat packing business Swift & Company, the inventor of the refrigerated railway car, and the first to ship dressed beef to eastern markets instead of live animals. Swift also pioneered products including glue, soap, and margarine out of cattle parts previously discarded. Swift & Company was worth $25 million at the time of his death in 1903. And in 2003, Richard Plow died, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he helped found the World Wildlife Fund. In 1945, he was one of the first to warn about the dangers of DDT-deficient birds. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the line with us to take a look at the weather forecast for the agricultural producing areas of the world is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, it's hot here. Is it going to stay that way or are we going to get a little relief?
We're going to get a lot of relief. We've got a several-day period ahead of us where we're going to see more of this muggy and sultry conditions. But as we go deeper into next week, we're going to find significant changes taking place with a lot more cool air coming back into the region. Well below average temperatures for a little while will occur across a portion of the Midwest. In fact, I'd say probably a fairly large portion of the Midwest, actually. And the cooler weather, this is something we've been talking about for months, actually, that we would have a short-term period of warm weather like we've had and then fall back into a cooler weather biased pattern, and that's just exactly what seems to be happening here. I was in Chicago a week ago and was telling a group up there that I thought that I was talking to the women there, and I told them that if they had intentions of laying out by the pool, they had better do it over that three-week period. Because it probably was not going to be much warmer after that, and I think that's exactly where we're headed. The cooler bias back in the Midwest will raise a couple of issues. Well, first of all, it'll bring relief, obviously, to the drying bias that'll be back in the region. It doesn't look like it rains a lot when we turn cooler, but we will have at least opportunities for showers and thunderstorms periodically, and, of course, we'll conserve soil moisture by slowing down the evaporation rates. The other issue, of course, is that we're going to slow down crop development as well. This period of warmer weather that's happened here recently is going to continue into the weekend, and really crops are eating this up. Even though it's a little bit too warm for corn, it will shut down, obviously, when it gets this hot. But it helps to take out some of the excess moisture in the soil and give these roots a chance to dig down deeper into the ground and to help prepare these crops for drier weather that might come on a little bit later in the summer season. In the meantime, we did pick up a little bit of an improvement in degree day accumulations, and the crop has been accelerated somewhat, even though we've taken a little break with the heat getting a little excessive here the last day or so. I really think overall it's not a bad scenario. We've got a lot of moisture in the ground and on the ground. We are losing a lot of it fairly quickly with the evaporation rates, but it does not look like this is going to be a persistent feature, and I think it looks pretty good for at least the first half of July.
How do things bode for the second largest corn crop on the planet, and it's in the ground in China now?
Yeah, and it looks pretty good as well, although we now have an area of drying that's starting to encroach upon one of the second areas of major production in China. This is kind of impacting the Yellow River Basin and parts of what they call the North China Plain. It's a fairly important crop production area. And it is turning dry right now. They had some temperatures of their own that were in the upper 90s and lower 100s here the last day or two, and that's going to continue in that area as well over the next several days. And no rain is expected for a full week across some of this region. So we are now starting to see the potential here for some crop stress to show up in unirrigated areas in China. This is, again, not in the biggest production area, but it is certainly an important one. And we'll watch it real closely. China does have a little bit of a bias for dryness at times in developing El Nino environments just like this. And so we kind of think this is something that will be around for a while.
Drew, thanks so much.
Hey, have a great day.
Hey, that's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He joins us each and every Wednesday afternoon right here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Stay cool if you can today. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.